Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Aloha and namaste, my yoga revealed family. I hope you're doing so well and thriving during the summer of 2021. My name is Alec Vishal Rubin, and I am so grateful to be your brother in breath, body, and in the heart of yoga. Today, I am joined on the podcast with a dear brother in my life who has influenced me with the Tao, the way of tea. There is a flow of the water and how it may impact our consciousness when we're mindful, along with nourishing the mind. Meet Kirsten Brewer of Tortoise Tea, who is also a close confidant and co-worker of the well-known Richard Rudd, channeler of the Gene Keys. I believe you're going to love this unique episode, and be sure to check out the episode on YouTube where you can watch us sharing this conversation while drinking tea at his amazing tea set. Ceremony is life. I hope you enjoy this episode of the Yoga Revealed podcast. Namaste, Yoga Revealed podcast. Thank you so much for being here, being present each and every day. We have the opportunity to show up in a whole new way. And speaking of showing up, I've found many different tools in my own life that are within the practices of yoga that assist in the emotional fortitude on how I get to present myself to the world, to my own day practice, day-to-day practice. And I'm so excited to be able to share with you and introduce to you someone who has been a influential teacher, mentor, friend, and guide into the Tao, the way of yoga, the way of tea. His name's Kirsten Brewer, and we've been friends for 10 years, maybe, I don't know, 9 years. It's been a long time. And Kirsten is very well versed in the realm of gene keys. He's he knows a lot of chanting through the Tibetan Buddhism practice, and the way of tea has just influenced his life so much. I don't feel like I can introduce him as well as he could share the insights on what has transformed his life. And I will mention, if you're listening to this on audio, you can head on over to our YouTube and you'll be able to see the video recording of this conversation, because we are going to be drinking tea, and he has this amazing tea room that I'm sitting in here in Denver, Colorado, where so many friends and family and people that I know and that I don't know come through, and they sit and we get lit on tea. And when I say when we get lit on tea, I really mean to say we're totally getting lit on tea, but we're also going deep, deep inside. So Kirsten, thank you for welcoming me here again and again and again over the years. I cherish our friendship and the connection that you've brought into my life through having a relationship to tea as yoga. So, hi.
Hello.
I love to ask you what I ask everybody. You know, how was yoga first revealed to you?
The revelation. Well, in this very room, my friend Eric Nez stayed here for some months and painted in this room.
Incredible painter.
Incredible painter. Paints a lot of devotional artwork dedicated and devotee to yoga. Almost every single piece is a posture and a pose that comes through in this transmission for him and these ecstatic states of his creations, and bringing live music, and paints every year at Beloved Festival, and paints temples and rooftop, the ceilings inside of temples, and like with these hands that come down, and like it's just incredible, like what he does. And he came and stayed here, and he's a yogi, true yogi. And his family is also comes from a family of yogis, father and mother as well. So he was really raised in it as well.
I remember when he was here, I came over and he had just finished 108 sun salutations. And this was early on in my career of studying and practicing yoga. And I remember he had this painting of him, like it was a like fast forward motion of 108 sun salutations or something like that. It was, mm-hmm. It was really cool. Sorry, continue.
Yeah, that was the Siri Namaskara painting of his. Yeah, that's really beautiful. Yeah, cool. Incredible.
I love that that is one of your influential introductions to yoga.
Yes. Yeah. Well, he was in here and we had to take down the lights and all the things so he could do his practice privately in this room. And this was before this became the tea room as well. And also an influential brother in bringing tea into my life, mm-hmm. and sharing that part of yoga as well. And, there's an essence to like what he shared with me in the just short time, several months that he was here, and without pushing me or prodding me, it was like, hey, come to yoga. I'm doing some things at one of these places. Just come. And so I went, and the first thing I realized is I had toes. It was like my first revelation of like getting off of a mat after a class and going, oh my God, I've had toes this whole time.
And I can isolate them.
Like, wow.
I can spread them.
Staring at them. And like, yeah, it's like, well, they've been hiding behind socks for so many years.
I think so many of our listeners, myself included, can resonate with that little gentle, non-aggressive pushing nudge. Like, hey, come check out yoga. Like my best friend, Kiefer, he took me to my first yoga class. So I love that. I love that so much. Also, I know that the listeners can't really see, but the viewers on YouTube, they can. And to just see the setup, you know, what kind of, like when we say tea, someone might be thinking like yogi tea bags, which is, you know, great at 1 a.m. sometimes, but then also like, that's not what this is. What is this tea approach? And as you're beginning to, you know, pour some tea for you and I, can you explain what is this approach to tea? What's it called? Gong Fu, right? Mm-hmm. And what's that mean? And what are we about to do while we have this conversation? Just to like share a little piece of insight.
Yeah, to give a little bit of framework.
Yeah,
to,
please.
And a little storyline to this. Well, these are very small pots. And they are of special clays, quite a few different clays in this room, quite a few pots. And they all bring out different essences and different qualities of different tea. And we could start with like the Gong Fu method is an old method, about 400 years or so. And tea stretches back in cultures for thousands of years. But the Gong Fu method is a Chinese philosophy and connection, and it's the art of tea. And Gong Fu is like the art of, it's like the mastery of, and it's some of that essence is to master something is not necessarily to own it. It's to really connect with what is happening inside of us when we're refining ourselves. So it's like when we think of a martial art, like we never actually get to this point of mastery in a sense. The mastery is in this drive and this ability to soften into the connection of refinement and self-improvement. And I think that stretches into a lot of different practices as well. And so to master something is to master that kind of energy almost inside of us. That, and then we get to refine beyond the limits of what we even think mastery is.
Like refine through inquiry.
Yeah. And refining in the sense of like relaxing into the experience. And we could think of it like Qigong or a martial art. It's like the mastery almost comes from really dropping into the space of like we could be doing Qigong and be doing the same pose for 6 years, but then all of a sudden in this moment of connection, we can tilt our wrists just a tad bit and realize that that even brings us closer to the connection. And we almost had to work through those 6 years to realize that, because it's really dropping deeper into our attunement, deeper into our practice. So that's why even the Chinese say 10,000 hours to become a master at something, when it's easy for us to start logging hours. We're like, oh, I'm at 9,900. Let's celebrate. When it's really 10,000 in that culture is really about almost infinity. So it's like mastery is the seeking, you know, energy. And then in that never ending seeking almost, we end up finding a place of rest in our practice, because there's nothing to actually attain at this top level. So it lets us improve at this like pace in our drive and where we are in the moment, instead of maybe reaching for a very specific thing. And I think that that's where like tea really comes in and really teaches us, because, you know, for me, I've been pouring tea, which seems like a very simple act, and it is a very simple act, but it keeps revealing itself, just like that yoga inside. It keeps revealing new petals of understanding around what it is that we're even doing and connecting to. So I could be using the same pot, the same tea, the same methods, the same water, all the same tools, but every single tea session and tea sit and meditation and contemplation is almost this completely new thing. It's like the quote, a man cannot step in the same river twice, for he is not the same man, nor is the same river.
So much so where a yogi practitioner can do the same yoga asanas each and every day, yet the frame may change, and especially the contents that make up the poses, the internal experience most definitely will shift day to day, year after year. I think that's a profound mirror.
Yeah,
I love that.
And the planets are in a different place. The moon is in a different place.
Mercury is in retrograde for like the next 8 months.
We're in a new place.
Yes.
You know, so it constantly allows this never-ending lotus to be opening within us. And I really like that inward visualization of the unveiling of things, you know, and we're constantly opening and then being open to that opening, you know. So yeah, that's a connection for me, and what I feel like the true essence of tea is as well, and connecting to the spirit of tea, and then connecting to the veriditas of nature, the green lush nature of the world, and plants and flora of the world. Like, tea is that gateway into that connection for me. And I see it. And so it's a plant medicine in that essence. And it always is revealing something new. There's always something new. And then when we bring other teas in, then we're exploring different realms of different tea. You know, it's getting us closer to that plant realm and closer to connection. And then when we share it with friends, then that's getting us together in this meditation, or just casual, candid conversation, or it's this bridge between hearts and this, like.
Well, I love the bridge between hearts. I'll jump in because since you've influenced me to invest however much time, energy, money into collecting, you know, the tools of the pots and the cups and the tea tools and the board. Mm-hmm. And the next thing for me, a nice big tea table. Yeah. I've had bridge between heart to hearts with other people where I'm having a disagreement or a challenging conversation. And it's like, cool, well, let's sit together and have some tea.
Yeah.
Let's talk. I usually pour some rose to start.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And the bridge, the heart to heart is potent and profound. And, you know, even then, waking up early, I know you do too sometimes, and you put on some deep chanting music and one culture or another, whatever it is. And you're drinking tea early. And that's a practice. I love the subconscious and the consciousness that we're able to extract and dive into through this practice.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's because there are almost two, like in yoga is the same, and in the movement asana is like you can have your self practice, you know, or you can go, you know, and be there with your love or your friend. You know, or be with your friends out in the mountains doing that, or you can go to a class, you know. So yeah, there's all those connections, and they all create their almost unique ways of connecting to your practice.
I love it.
Yeah, because it just reveals different things. And, yeah, and I drink so much tea by myself. When my brother comes over here to drink tea, I'm so excited and ecstatic. I'm like, somebody else to drink tea with.
I feel very similarly with practicing yoga in my own home. I'm like, oh my God, someone's coming to practice. This is so exciting. You get to share this.
Yeah. I look into my tummy and I'm like, oh, which one is the right one for today?
One is the right one for today?
Yeah, it starts like that's where the contemplation almost begins. And the more we can kind of get out of our head with that and get into our heart and our belly, the more that the right one really comes, because it is a magical practice that way, especially like the deeper connection that we end up getting into with it. It really becomes this magical connection to plant life. Yeah.
Well, what are we drinking today that you can share with what kind of tea it is, and just the difference of like this tea versus a tea bag that you can get?
Right. So I'm really feeling called to special moments call for special tea, and even mundane moments call for special tea.
That's true.
So there's a little teaism, as we call it, like as we're drinking tea, some things will just pop up into our consciousness and out of our mouths. And I was sitting with my friend Elijah Parker, an amazing tea master, and Gene Keys, space holder and ambassador, and just amazing brother of mine. And we were talking about, like, when we're drinking tea, there was a moment in my like learning and understanding. I'm like, how do I make a moment special? And we like, cause we're drinking tea, and it was very strong tea, and strong in the sense of very like opening for us and very like transcendental. And we laughed and roared laughter for a moment, because it was almost, it was almost ridiculous to think of like, how do you make a moment special?
It's the like, moment
it's so young of like, wow. I am creating a moment instead of like, you know, being in the moment.
The moment's always been.
Right. So that was like, you know, those are fun little revelations.
It's a humility. It's a humble laugh. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm still laughing. That was years ago.
Well, it's a special moment to last a lifetime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do we got?
So in this little silver vessel, we have some tea from the 60s. Mm. And yeah, what makes this different is, there's several different classifications of tea. Some are fresh and some are of this year's spring harvest. And some are older and aged, which then creates a different quality of tea and different experience. And then there's a different a production level of tea, something that's like plantation. And a lot of times in the modern world, we have pesticides and we have agrochemicals and we have pollution, and some of those things that make some of those teas a little bit more challenging on the body and kind of hinder some of the spirit that can really be coming out of these plants. And so what makes these gems is very unique and quite rare to really find these gems. A lot of the tea that I have and acquire does come from China or Vietnam, Laos, Cambodia, on the borders of Tibet. I have some tea from Tibet as well. And then as I go out and explore, I have like some medicine men that I get some tea plants from Peru. Wow. That are roasted over the fire even. So as this library keeps growing and growing here, the library of medicinal and energetic frequencies just keeps growing and growing. And so part of what... I'm called a tea hunter. So I go out and I look for these very special ones and then hold them in the library for when it's time to kind of pull that book out. Nice. That old book and dust it off and blow the dust off, open it up like, you know, the Neverending Story book or the Lord of Rings or, you know, Tolkien. You know, or Blavatsky or something, like, you know, some stanzas if you want to go there too, you know, like some Vedic texts, and blow that dust off and open them and then read them into the room. And that's bringing that energy and that essence into the room. And then we're all feeling that vibration and connection. So I like to look at tea that way. But the tea that we're having right now is pu'er. A lot of the tea that I really reach for is pu'er. I like some of this old tea because it has a tendency to drop deeper into my body and deeper into my root instead of pulling me up into my head and sometimes above my head, which I have a lot of tea that does that as well. And in a tea ceremony or journey session, it's nice to have different qualities of energy that are working different ways in the body that then create this journey through these energetic frequencies. Mm. And they open up. And the more we explore, the more we can kind of see like, ooh, this posture to this posture creates this opening. So it's almost like, why do we have a yoga flow be this specific way? Mm. So that's the attunement that we get into. And it's like, ooh, if we go from here to here, what does that actually like open up within us? Because the idea is the experience in that moment as well. So tea journeying with multiple teas can be that way. And even just drinking two different teas and two pots of tea, say with a friend, we can even start our session with one and then drink the next one. And that will open up a different kind of sequence, or it's kind of like going to one part of the trail and moving to the other, or going to the other part of the trail and moving to the other.
Right.
So that's, it's like, should we walk up the mountain or walk down the mountain? You know? And so then that it all turns into an exploration, you know, and if, and all the tea is really asking of us is our presence. So if we can just even put a fraction of our presence in with our tea and in with that connection and our sit, then that's all that's really needed.
Well, I think the same could be said for our practice in yoga, you know, and I fall guilty of sometimes not being present. Presence is my word for 2021. So I really resonate with that share to see how growth can, like true growth comes from presence, devotion, persistence, consistency, the willingness to go inside. And that's just all that I'm hearing. It's just to give ourselves the gift of presence. I'm excited for this tea today.
Yes. Yes, this is a puer from Tibet from the late 60s. And this is a very special tea and has a lot of very nice grounding properties to it, and grounding spirit. And while at the same time, it opens up this center channel and straightens up the spine and cracks open our chest and heart in a gentle way. Some puer can be quite
intense,
in this revelation, you know, and in some of our tea practice, we call using tea to reflect on the gene keys, which we could talk about in a moment.
Yeah, I'd love to get there.
We speak about there being an initiation tea and a contemplation tea of that key. So one actually moves you through those, the shadow, the gift, and the city. And the other one is for contemplating that key. So some of them can be quite fiery in that way of just drinking that one to really move through that, that key.
So as you do prepare this tea for us, like what is your thought when, you know, maybe some of those who are inspired by tea or have maybe in college or just are very themselves Buddhists or studied some level of Buddhism, they've probably heard the Tao or the Tao or the way, right? So when you hear that, like what comes alive in you that you feel like you'd want to share when you hear like the Tao of yoga or the tea of yoga, the yoga of tea? Like, where's the Tao and tea and yoga all? Where's that center point? As you pour this tea for us, I'm excited to drink with this
little
contemplation.
We haven't had tea yet. So like as we drink this tea, we'll feel ourselves change and even accessing different parts of our contemplation that we're doing right now.
It's cool.
With the tea.
Yeah.
So we get to start fresh and move into the space.
I'm excited.
And take our listeners and viewers on this journey here. The Tao, even the Tao, kind of almost sabotages it itself. we almost have to say Tao, because to be even say the Tao, it creates a separation from ourselves.
Oh, wow.
so that's the immediate thing that comes. A dear friend of mine, Solala Towler, he's also a tea friend, and he teaches some courses and takes some people every year to the Wudang monasteries and temples and visits hermits where just come out and hold his, like, the travelers with him, just comes out, doesn't speak at all, just comes out and holds their hand and stares into their eyes, and people, like, end up crying or end up, like, opening up. And these are, like, these true, like, deep wisdom holders of this transmission of Taoism. And I would connect that with everything. Like, everything is Tao. Like, so that's what I think of when I think of Tao. And when I think of yoga, and the yoga of tea, I think of almost studying meridian point energy gateways in my body. So as I do yoga, I'm sensing different channels open and different energy moving to different parts of my body, you know, then the breath accessing that as well. And I feel the exact same way with tea, except I'm just in a sitting posture. And in Tibetan yoga, a lot of the Tibetan yoga isn't about movement in that way as well. And so there's a lot of this sitting practice and really observing the energies move to different parts of my body. So I would connect tea with that as a gateway.
That's beautiful. Love that. And you know, as we're, let's say, halfway through our just time of recording, even though we're drinking for hours to come, I'd love to transition the conversation into Gene Keys. Maybe our listeners have heard of the Gene Keys before and heard of Richard Rudd, who channeled the Gene Keys. And Kirsten is, you know, you've been like a right-hand man to a certain extent with Richard, and you've traveled the world and poured tea at, I don't know how to call them, Gene Key conventions, if you will. Or
maybe right now, the left hand.
The left hand. Yeah, right. You've been the heart hand. You've been the heart hand tea pourer just for Richard Rudd at Gene Keys.
I'm just the tea monk. I'm the tea monk in the corner.
Yes. I love it. And you are. You really are. And, you know, what can you say for someone who has no idea what Gene Keys is? What is Gene Keys?
Yes.
That is a deep steep.
Yes. Yeah. Medicine. It's like, are you sure this is tea? Are we in a maloka somewhere? yes, I would encourage anyone listening who even is kind of feeling that spark of like, wait, what is Gene Keys? To get on GeneKeys.com and access your free profile and on that little tab and read some of those paragraphs and just explore a little bit there. There's a lot of resources on the site. And that being said, Gene Keys is a culmination of many different studies and practices. It incorporates Taoism, Sufism, Buddhism, Hinduism, and like Hermeticism,
I Ching.
Yeah, it's primarily based around the I Ching in the sense of the trigrams and the hexagrams. And it's quite of a magical system. And the I Ching was used as a divination tool even. But we don't like to necessarily use it to predict the future, but just more of like the divination of like seeing now, like seeing what's happening right now in the world, being able to see things in our friends, see things in ourselves. So I like that as this idea of divination, of really like looking, being able to see things through almost a code-like sense without losing our humanity, without turning into a robot, without projecting things into life of of this is how it is because this book says it is. It's really asking us to tune into ourselves through this kind of like universal wisdom that culminates from all these different times and cultures and into this one book of the 64 hexagrams and trigrams that are then laid out very delicately and very beautifully as the shadow gift in the city. And that's the book. So don't be intimidated by this big, thick book.
Very thick book.
Very thick book. And it's a journey into ourselves. It's a journey into our connection with life. And it's a mixture of astrology as well. So when you pull up your chart, there's the 11 spheres, and there's a journey and a pathway between these different connections, and all those spheres are correlated to different planets. And the one at the top is the sun. That's where the sun was positioned when we were born. And then the evolution is the mirror of the sun, and that's what we evolve into. And then there's the radiance, which is what really deeply fulfills us in our life. And then there's the purpose, which is our root. And that's the earth placement. And then the attraction is where the moon was. And then that's the Venus sequence, which is Venus, Mars, Venus. And then we have the pearl sequence, which is Jupiter, Saturn. And so this correlates also with this astro chart of ours. So if you're into astrology, you get to really like see this other window or other lens of your astro chart as well. So we get to really like drop into that. And if we're using astrology in this way, we're using astrology as this kind of compass and way to have this inner reflection and inner vision and looking into ourselves and finding these higher potentials that are within the things that challenge us the most in life, the shadow, and then transmuting that shadow into something positive into the world, versus the city and the gift. So within that shadow of a challenge, there's this gift essence. And then if we can really use and grab, harness, and release that gift into the world and into our daily moments and into our internal mentality and inner vision and heart, then that inside of that gift is also this city.
Wow.
And I've seen so many of my friends just really just grab this, and they're just flourishing in life through this like new lens and seeing that challenges can present themselves or are presenting themselves, I would say, as this kind of catalyst to boost us into our higher potential. So instead of looking at our challenges in life as being something that's burdensome, we look at them as a challenge that we end up getting to use that energy.
An opportunity
to bring ourselves to a whole nother level and bring the planet to a whole nother level, and do so from a place of like rest and peace and groundedness as well, which I think is like really what creates the ripples into the world. Really, really brings that. Because if we aren't at a state of peace in our own being, how can we expect the world to be at peace? So that's the challenge, is to really find our inner peace as we move through challenges, which really opens up the portal to grace, like living a life in grace. And it's just a magnificent system. It's really a system, because we can go, and it's incorporating this like yin yang energies as well of really using a system that's kind of creating a circuitry network of kind of like intelligence and mind. But at the same time, that then fades for a moment. And then we get to really sit in and be receptive with that yin energy and then feel into. So it's like, well, what does this feel like to me? Instead of saying, it's really easy to go into into these states of like, well, this chart says I'm this way, so now I'm this way. And so really like using this as like an inward lens rather than something that's just telling you what you are.
And the tea will really take you there too.
Yes, that's why we're just launching Tortoise Tea, and the website will be open here very soon. And it's using tea as a catalyst for contemplating the gene keys. And we're associating different tea to different gene keys through their frequencies and their energies. And so we're super excited.
That's cool.
Super excited to be bringing this out into the world.
How have you gotten so close with Richard? Like, what was the process like upon you walking your path and walking in tea and walking in yoga and walking in devotion that you were one of the select few really who get to work with Richard? Like, how did that happen?
Yeah, it's I think tea was really my gateway drug.
That's great.
Gateway medicine. You know, it's a good joke. But we're all drugs. You know, I think that's Timothy Leary said, like, we are drugs. Maybe that was Terrence McKenna. Actually that was Albert Einstein. Oh, anyway. now the tea is beginning to flow.
The tea is
inward and outwardly. No, I was first introduced to tea by Eric Nez and David Heskin, dear friends of mine, painters and visionary painters. And I ended up getting blown away by a 1960s pu'er. We drank one pot for about 30 hours and straight. And Nez painted a whole painting, and we drank udon noodle soup and had the curtains closed. So when we were coming out of our state,
we were some tea for the listeners as well.
Of course, yeah.
This is a cup for you.
Yes, we have a little offering
cup
here.
Thanks for being here with us.
You all get some 60s energy as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we call this...
I already feel the tea hitting me like...
Three jewels.
One cup.
Yeah, one...
It's strong.
One cup. Mm-hmm. The so I had such a revelation, like the tea revealed, that had such a revelation that I ended up afterwards just being so open. And Nez said, well, if you want to learn more about this, you should go to my tea master up in Portland. His name is Poe. Old Poe, or Poe Rosenberg, with Heaven's Tea. And so I think a week later, I already had a flight and I flew up there. I stayed at an Airbnb, and I think I spent 2 weeks there drinking tea with Poe. Came back with a whole bunch of tea and teaware, and sat at this like little piece of wood and felt like I had no idea what I was doing. Which if you're new to tea, you'll understand
you
exactly
way.
Like, wait, what is this teapot? What am I doing? What really was special was I was drinking very curated and very special and opening tea that had such spirit in it. It doesn't matter how you pour it. It could be in a jar, through a screen, filtered by a spoon.
In a thermos.
In a thermos. It really doesn't matter. Like all these other things just bring in some ritual, bring in some like ways to express the tea in different ways, but that spirit is there. And that spirit really was transformational for me. And that was really my catalyst to go, wait, there's other things, like sensing my body. Like that first time going to yoga, of like, oh, I have toes. Tea was bringing these other realizations to my energetic body. I was like, wait, there's other things happening within this. And so then I just kept going up to Portland. I was like this traveling student with Poe. And I would just go up there every couple of months for 2 weeks. And then I was invited to stay in the yurt, you know, and then I got closer to Wonderland, which that's the community that it's in. And Elijah Parker's in that community as well. And a tea student of Poe's. Yeah, we just started creating connections because this is really what tea is about. It creates connections. This is what yoga is about. It creates connections as well. And then as I progressed and really worked on humbling myself and just being this, that's why I like tea monk, is because I don't even assume that I know what I'm doing. And it's something Poe and I talk about all the time. It's like, nobody knows what they're doing, actually. But we're all having fun doing it and exploring. And there's a sense of mastery in that energy. And the more that we are able to express that, the more our essence and our spirit gets to shine. And then it knows what we're doing. Mm. You know, like spirit gets to connect with us. And then we really know what we're doing, even though we kind of like don't know what we're doing. It's really beautiful. Paradox. So many things are paradoxes that way. So then years go by, I think years and years go by. And I was approached by Elijah to be asked if I wanted to take part in this tea company, but this tea practice that we want to share with the world of this connection, because it's really easy to go into old tradition, which is very beautiful and it's good to know. And it's good to know the culture and the methods and the methodology. Ooh, tea. In the sense of the culture and the community that it really comes from, of those Taoist cultures in southern China and thousands of years old, and that connection. And it's very important to really connect with that as well, out of respect. But we're now, you know, and we, like, I'm an American, you know, grew up in Guatemala, but there's this, how do we carry these things now with still like using that culture, using that tradition, but bringing these things to now in our own unique way of doing it as well, while still having form and the formless. So this is this kind of new way of, we call it tea from the heart. And so it really just breaks down all those barriers of what you're supposed to do. And it's all about the connection to the spirit, to the tea, and then sharing that out into the world. So I think really working with that energy and really feeling that essence of tea has really brought me that embodiment, so to speak, that created that alignment for me to be called into that. And so I went up to New York to meet Richard and connect with him. And we were there for a couple of weeks, the assemblage, and he was releasing his new book, The Art of Contemplation. And that's what this tea company and tea practice is also centered and based around, is The Art of Contemplation. And it's a really great book. You could find it. It's amazing.
So you had your tea set up with you and you served him tea, and
yes,
that's where it began.
That's where it began.
Wow, that's so cool. I haven't heard that story before. That's awesome.
And so yeah, and he'd already had tea with Poe. Poe had already gone and done a retreat over in Scotland. And so then after that, I was asked to go do a tea at this retreat and partake in this retreat at this beautiful manor in Scotland near the Loch Ness. And went there, and it was such a opening experience for me, and also a window into like where I can refine myself. This is constantly like teaching me that like my work is not done. You know, it's constantly like working on myself, but a peaceful way of working through these different things and learning and being open and connecting and listening.
What gene key aligns with that of constantly working on yourself? I ask because I feel the yogis, the practitioners who are our Yoga Revealed audience, they're yogis, they're practitioners. They may, and most of them also might be teachers. So I find that anybody that has a daily practice is constantly working on themselves. And I believe anyone that goes to yoga, be it once a week or even once a month, there's a depth of constantly working on yourself, right? Different degrees and shades, sure. However, the wholeness of wanting to work on yourself, I feel, is so pure and genuine. And I wonder, if I say that as a piece of our audience to relate to this question, for the gene keys as well, if there's curiosity there, what gene key aligns with working on yourself?
My man, all 64. But I just pulled a card here, and it's returning to the one, you know, and this is the essence of yin energy.
And these are gene key cards.
Yeah, it's a gene key deck, and they're all 64, and they give us a nice little window into it as well. I think that this orientation and unity. I think unity is really like what a lot of us are striving for. And I think what a lot of us, and the idea of trust as well, like trust in everything, trust in that, like your drive, trust in your drive to refine yourself, trust in the challenges that we meet every day, trust the bad things that happen to us. It's difficult to say, you know, like, but trust everything. And you know, and I think that
even your doubt.
Yeah. And trust your doubt. It contains the gift. Like, we'll say like doubt, that's a very yoga. That's the tantras. So like that energy of doubt, if we trust it, we're using that energy to move through.
To find the clear.
To find, that's the inquiry.
Yeah.
So this would be Gene Key 63. So this would be about using doubt to get to truth through the gift of inquiry. So we now get to inquire, and through that inquiry we find our inner truth, because that's really where truth and wisdom lies, is in that center space. And that's the Mandrushi short,
right? And I wonder, in regards of say where we are as in the world right now, you know, there's where we're, I don't have the comments perhaps to reflect on where I feel we are. However, what would the gene keys say in reflection to where we are? What's a good gene key that you feel, you know, right now we're in Mercury retrograde and Saturn retrograde. They're intense times. It's just least to say. What gene key do you feel is present to share with our audience?
Yeah, like right now, especially through like the challenge that the whole world and our culture and our society has been really going through, is I would say this one, and Richard as well too. It's this.
Can you speak to it?
So this is about changing the world from the inside. And in Buddhism, this would be the Dzogchen principle of change the way you look at it and change your entire world. So we realize so much it is perspective, but it's really challenging, you know, and how it has its mirrors through forgiveness and understanding. But the idea of the shadow of reaction wants to change the world on the outside without actually changing the world on the inside. And that's maybe what I was touching a little bit about. If we can find that peace inside of ourselves, like real true inner peace, and then bring that out into the world, and then that ripples, you know, then we share that peace with a friend, you know, and we can't forget our humanity. We're in samsara. But the idea is we can find nirvana within samsara. And that's that, you know, inner transmutation, accessing the transfiguration inside of us. Like we really are able to get that lens and that view of a perfect world in this movement from perfectly imperfect to perfectly perfect. If we don't stare and pick at a static point as we move through time, you know, we really get to see the perfection and the heterarchy of life organizing itself, like really organizing itself into this sequence of that releases beauty and creativity in the world. Like, so we can, if we just shift that perspective, that's why that one's called the healing power of the mind. We're using the mind to be able to look and shift how we think about things a little bit. Which then if we find that peace, then we can like shift things even more. It's just going to be on the more of the subtle energetic levels, and it ripples out into the world. And really imagine if we only had 20% of the world doing that, what impact that would make on the world. 30%? Wow. 40% of us doing this, of really like that bodhisattva energy, of like, cool, we found our peace. That's the bodhisattva. Like, found its peace. It has this ability to go to the astral level, to the white light planes, but it chooses to come back and for the benefit of all beings. And at that point, what else is there? But other than creativity, like actually like bringing creativity and beauty into the world, you know, and helping other beings and other people that only just need, that's this, like people don't need help, they just need love.
Like returning to the one.
Yeah, we don't need to help anyone. Gets me a little choked up, you know, because we just need love. And it's kind of a cliche at this point, and it's a Beatles song and things, but like it's just the truth of it all. And so if we can really just work on ourselves, and I think that that's bringing back to what you were speaking about, I think that that's what people are doing on their mats. I think that's what I'm really doing here as I'm sitting and drinking tea and working with Gene Keys. I think that's what I'm doing when we're at Red Rocks bouncing around to some music, you know, and that's what we're doing when we're like bringing in superfoods, you know, and like and we're really working on creating that inner peace within ourselves and that stability, that core stability that lets us like bring beauty energy into the world.
Yeah. Wow. That's beautiful. Profound.
It's good tea.
It is good tea. Thank you.
Tibetan wisdom in this one.
Yeah, I feel that.
And not just like, and even they're tapping into the world wisdom.
Yeah. Well, I know we could keep talking forever.
Oh, goodness.
Yes. And and we will.
Especially now after a few cups.
And we will still do that. And, you know, I'd love to transition our conversation with Yoga Revealed to a certain close. But I'd love to, before I ask the final question, I'm curious. I would like to ask you, like, let's say some listeners here are really curious to welcome this into their life in a whole new way. They can go to Gene Keys. They can get their free profile. That's super cool. And, you know, we'll be able to put your Instagram tag on this on this description so that people can reach out to you and connect with you and maybe share some takeaways or some conversation starters with you. Let's say someone's like, I want to start tea. I know that we have some contemplation sets available. Is that something that the Yoga Revealed family could acquire through you, through me, through us?
Yes, definitely.
Cool.
Yeah, we could work something out.
That's amazing.
The website is just about to launch, so some of those logistics are
so it might be more right direct there. DM.
Might be a little bit more direct right now.
Cool.
But yeah, anything to bring people closer to tea and closer to this connection with gene keys and tea, which is really in this art of contemplation.
I love it.
We're all about it. I mean, Richard is doing Fridays or Thursdays on Clubhouse, I think at 1 p.m.
Oh, wonderful.
And
if you need an invite to Clubhouse, DM me on Instagram. I got you.
Yeah.
I've got like 20.
And Richard speaks on there. So he's just such a master of the heart, you know, and connecting with people. And like,
what time is that on?
That's at 1 p.m.
on Fridays.
Mm-hmm.
At 1 p.m. Pacific
or Mountain Standard Time.
That's every Friday at 1.
Yes, every Thursday at 1.
Oh, every Thursday at 1.
And then right now he's doing YouTube live on Fridays at 1.
Cool.
But you could tag in on genekeys.com for resources. And then you can also go to the YouTube Gene Keys, which is lots of information there. And Richard is just releasing so many videos of late on there as well. And you get to, there's a lot of information on the Gene Keys YouTube. And and then there's the club that just started on Clubhouse.
Yeah. So it's grown.
Yeah, it's cool. Grown. Yeah, yeah. I think we're a little about 2,000 people, I think, in just like a couple of weeks that it's open.
Yeah.
Then we have a retreat, online retreat. We just got done with a 6-month retreat with the Venus Sequence, which is super affordable. I think that one was $200 for 6 months of retreat, online retreat, and which has these rooms that we get to contemplate and connect with other people and other people on this journey, exploring and heart relating and understanding the sequences as well, and these pathways to transformation. And there's also a retreat coming up in July. Registration is open right now. You can see that on the website, and that's for the Genius Sequence. And that's 4 months long. And I think it's only $100.
That's great.
And it's 4 months long. And it's about setting the foundation of of where we're at. So working with our sun and our earth placements and really finding our life's work, finding our evolution, finding our radiance, what really fulfills us and our purpose, which if you also look at the chart, they're kind of like the chakras
that are
just spread out, you know? So there's a lot of correlations there, and there's just so much stuff happening in the Gene Keys world right now.
So cool.
And so much that's going to be revealed as we all go through it as well.
And maybe one day we'll be able to get Richard on the podcast too.
Oh, definitely.
That would be really cool.
No, it will happen actually.
That would be so sweet.
I know it will.
I look forward to that.
Yeah. It won't be long.
Well, final question, my brother, that I love asking people because I think it extracts your own genius of service to others from your experience in life as a soul in your human planet and your human body in this planet. What's one golden nugget? Just one golden nugget that you want to give to the listeners as they continue on their journey, you know, as intentional beings seeking to evolve and expand. What's one golden nugget? Big, deep, small, shallow, or whatever it is. Something of resonance for you.
Be kind and gentle on yourself and ourselves as we move through these stages. And as the world moves through its stages, just bringing some kindness in. We can actually share anything that needs to be shared of our truth with another person if it's done with kindness. So that's a big thing for me right now. And especially as just the world is going through its phases, you know, just, be kind. And compassion, really, you know, but being kind. When we share our truth.
Thank you. Thank you, brother. Love you.
Love you too.
Namaste, my family. Thank you so much for tuning in to Yoga Revealed, and see you next time.
Om Rapasana DDD.
Thank you so much for listening to the Yoga Revealed podcast. My name is Alec Vishal Rubin, and I am ever grateful for the moments of time that you give myself, our interviewees, and Andrew. We love you, and we are truly grateful for you. If you are inspired to connect with Kirsten directly, just direct message him on Instagram at ttemplar. He can hook you up with your own introductory tea set, and even teach you how to pour tea. It's quite an amazing practice, especially for our lifestyle of being yoga practitioners and or teachers. And for the month of August, my beautiful partner Annie and I are leading a 30-day yoga retreat online and in person for those in Colorado. Vitalize your life. 30 days, an optimal health reset. 30 days of nutrition, weekly education, meditation, breath work on Zooms and in person with our one-day mountain retreat in Nederland, Colorado, on private, beautiful forested land. And if you are interested in this or want to hear more information about it, please DM me at AlecLoveLifeYoga on Instagram and we can get a conversation going. If you're in Colorado or out of Colorado, it can still work for you. And stay tuned for the winter of 2021 and the spring of 2022, where Andrew Seeley and I will be creating some in-person retreats, trainings, and workshops before Envision Music Festival in Costa Rica to bring the Yoga Revealed family together for the first time ever. Until then, stay strong, hold the light, embrace your practice, and remember, we are always stronger than we think. Your brother Alec is sending you love from Colorado. Peace, peace. See you next time.
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.